Welcome, listeners, to the first of a 2022 edition of Razzle Dazzle Radio. I'm Carolyn Kellerman, and today we're joined by two Broadway babies. Yes, that's the term for those talented folks who have performed on the Great White Way. And what stories Rick Ryder and Ashley Fitzgerald can tell, and what stories Mo Dutterer can add to these stories. Can't wait for that, Mo. There are amazing talent in Howard County. And I was looking over a list recently of the Wild Lake graduates, and it was long and varied. And of course, Centennial High School too. There are actors, singers, dancers, and also the president of the New York City Council. He was elected, Mark Levine from Columbia Wild Lake High School. So a shout out to him as well. But before you take it over, Judy, I'd like to remind folks that this podcast could be sent to social media, and I'd really appreciate that if you would take a listen and pass it on to friends and get the world to know all about Razzle Dazzle Radio. So go to the Dragon Digital Radio link and listen and learn. Judy, take it away.
Well, happy 2022. And you know, the big cliche, the show must go on, and we're doing it. We're coming back in New York, I hear. It was a little lull there and it was a little bit scary, but we're coming back on. And I'm super honored and thrilled to have both Rick Ryder and Ashley Fitzgerald here on the show. A little backstory on you, Rick, is that I did meet your mother first before I met you. And so it's always nice to speak about her. She was a legend here in Howard County for sure. And then I've watched you on stages all over the place and sent you some voice students along the way. So talk to us. What are you doing right now?
Good morning, everybody. I'm in Florida at the moment, just hanging out for the end of the holiday, and then I go back to New York and I start a busy teaching week next week, which is kind of awesome and inspiring. Mostly I teach working actors or those who seek to be working or sing for a living, and it's a full week, and you know, we're like cockroaches. You can't kill us. We keep coming back.
I love that analogy.
We're, you know, people are excited and, you know, starting a new year despite, you know, this up and down motion of our business. So yeah, that's what I'm up to, teaching my students, helping them prepare for what's next.
What is next?
I mean, you know, Ashley just said she finished a workshop. It's like, it's really awesome to me because they, you know, the business goes on. People are just like, are moving forward and past, you know, are these stumbling blocks of the pandemic. And people used to, I came down here the day that Broadway shut down on March 12th or the 13th. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one. I was flying to Florida just for like a week, and you know, Broadway shut down one of those 2 days, I can't remember, and I ended up staying for 4 months because all my business went virtual. And virtual lessons, we used to call them Skype lessons, they weren't new. We've been doing those for a long time, and you know, everything, you know, actually just stopped. I the week that I was to come back and teach, I think I had like almost, you know, like, because I was gone for a couple of weeks, I almost had like 30 students scheduled. It's usually a little bit less than that. So it was a really busy week. And, you know, in that 36 hour period after Broadway shut down, I think I went down to like 3 students. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, you know, what's going to happen? And again, people just started to trickle back, and it was virtual, and that got better, you know, and I bought good equipment, and the virtual lesson turned into something that used to be kind of a sub experience into a pretty good experience. And I stayed here and taught, and, you know, then went back to New York, and, you know, we just followed the news. But again, it's just been like so awesomely inspiring.
We talk about that on this show all the time, how blessed we all feel that we're in the arts, because it is the thing that's kept us going. It's where we climb back to. That's the thing that gives us hope. And we always have that. So it's a continuing theme on this show for sure.
It's interesting because then my business kind of shifted a bit because the pop music industry didn't, I always had like a few pop singers as clients or students, and the pop music industry continued. And so I started teaching a lot more pop singers and injured singers, because people start, you know, the Zoom thing was really, really began to be really be hard on people's voices, on people who use their voices for a living, either speaking or singing. And I started working more closely with ENT practices and speech pathologists, which I had already, I had been doing for years, but that became a larger part of my business was
interesting.
Healing voices.
Yeah, well, there are so many things to morph to in the arts. You know, you can recreate yourself a thousand ways. And certainly that's what the resiliency of the arts does for you, too. Well, Ashley, I was thinking back how long ago I remembered you. And I have to say, I remembered you from a country club in Howard County, Cattown. Oh. And I remember.
That's right.
That's actually where I first met you, not the arts. Yeah. And you were gorgeous then and you're gorgeous now. And of course, the fact that our show is called Razzle Dazzle, anytime I hear your name, I think of Fosse, because you can do Fosse like Fosse would love. Fosse smiles every time you dance it, trust me. And that's not an easy thing to do. So happy to see you, and your whole family was sweet and wonderful. And so what are you doing? You have a lot of new things happening in your life, don't you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so over the pandemic, I took the time to have a baby.
Wow, that's a good idea.
Broadway shut down. And
that's so productive.
I know. Broadway shut down, and 5 days later, I got pregnant. And then...
Don't try this at home. Go ahead.
Don't try... You know, so that happened. And then it just sort of worked out, and I was able to, you know, get myself back in shape and take classes and all of the Zooms and all of that I was very thankful for. And then I've always worked very closely, speaking of Bob Fosse, I've always worked very closely with the Verdon Fosse Legacy that's run by his daughter, Nicole Fosse. So for the past like 12 years, I've helped reconstruct work that Bob did to make sure that it's, you know, back to its original seed. And so then they have decided to revive Dansen. They've been talking about that for a long time. And so I was lucky enough to get hired to do it. And so that was the workshop that I just finished up in November. And
that
we don't know.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. It was very hard. It was very hard, but I'm excited to revisit the material as what I would call an adult. I guess I'm an adult now, and like having life experience and coming at it from a different angle, and sort of like what, to piggyback on what Rick was talking about, just working on things from like reconstructing your body and work from a good sense of knowledge about how fixing the voice and fixing your body. And after having two babies, it's just interesting coming at the work from that angle and being smarter and having more knowledge to keep myself healthy, vocally, physically, and mentally. I think that's something that we all really learned over the pandemic was, all right, how do we come back better and stronger to be more resilient, like cockroaches?
We'll quote him, yes.
Yeah.
When is that going to come out? Because Dansen, that's definite. I got to be there.
Yeah, no, you have to be there.
I will.
Everybody, everybody from this podcast, I want to see you all there. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen. My suspicion would be either this coming fall or the following spring. That's definitely like a for sure, hopefully, you know, but with the pandemic, we keep climbing out of the water. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
All right. We're going to hold that from your lips to our ears. We're looking for either one of those times, because I can't wait. So Mo, you always get the scoops, as Carolyn said. So what do you know about our two guests?
Well, they both graduated from Centennial High School. Rick, many decades before Ashley did. Actually,
Rick.
Actually, Rick is, since he was in the first graduating class at Centennial in 1979, he was our first biggie claim to fame on Broadway. And I think I have the story right, Rick, that you actually were doing a national tour of Grease with Megan Lawrence, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And at that time, they didn't know that they both went to Centennial, Rick graduating in 79 and Megan graduating in 89. And Megan actually got a nomination for Best Supporting Actress, a Tony Award for Pajama Game with Harry Connick Jr. and didn't win it, but she's fantastic. And anyhow, I think the way Megan told it was that Rick and Megan were, they were just sitting in a room, hotel room on tour, telling stories. And the high school came up and Megan said something like, where'd you go to high school? And he said, in the Baltimore area. That's why I'm from here too. Where? And said, well, Howard County. Well, I am too. Where? And they found out that they were both alumni of Centennial High School. At least that's the way Megan tells the story anyhow, but they didn't know that beforehand. But Rick was our first biggie to make it up there on the Great White Way. And one of my wife Barbara's and my favorite show is Blood Brothers. And we saw it probably at least 7 or 8 times in London before it came over here. And here Rick was in it. He took over the Goody Two Shoes twin brother and did the show with Carol King. And of course, Barb and I had to go see that for the 8th or whatever time we've seen the show. And there was Rick. And he has done a number of things on Broadway. I met him first in 1973 at Dunlogan Middle School as a 7th grader. And then Centennial didn't open until 77. And Rick went to Hebron for 2 years and then came down to Centennial since he lived in the Centennial district, and had him there as a junior and a senior. And we've remained really good friends and keep in contact. And something you might not know is that Rick is a land baron also, having an apartment in New York City and a couple of places in Northport, Florida, and about 17 houses or apartments or rental places in Asbury Park. So he just is all over the place. And you're in Florida now, is that right, Rick?
Yes.
Smart boy. Very smart boy. And then Rick and I, after he came back to Columbia, unfortunately, after his mom passed, he moved into her place, the right across the street from Slayton House. And since he was there and just slumming it, I tapped him on the shoulder and asked him if he would co-direct not only Blood Brothers, as Silhouette Stages did, but also Avenue Q, and then the producer. So Rick and I co-directed 3 shows together. And I think, was that your first directorial gig that you did?
Yeah, that's it. You, and really, like, I assisted you.
3 you and done. And
I assisted.
they were all fantastic shows. And they were all, again, with Silhouette Stages. And then, so Rick graduates in 79, goes off and does it, and very successful in New York. And then Ashley pops up. I believe you graduated in 2003?
Two.
Okay. So Ashley and I both graduated from Centennial at the same time. She graduated, and I graduated into retirement in 2002. And she, obviously being a phenomenal dancer, one of my favorite things that she did, Barb and I saw her in the Cher show. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you won the Cheetah Rivera Award.
I did.
2 years ago.
The last one they had in 2019.
Okay. And she danced the part of the Dark Lady, I believe. And Barb and I kept looking for you on stage, and you were hidden on purpose in the 2nd or 3rd row in the back. And then act 2 starts and pop, there's Ashley down center, strutting her stuff and being thrown around the stage by 4 to 6 buff guys. And she loved it. I knew it.
Yeah.
And it's just a phenomenal show and just a wonderful, wonderful dance act that she did there. And she married Ryan Kelly, who graduated in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's actually Ashley Fitzgerald Kelly.
Yes.
But you still go by Ashley Fitzgerald on Broadway, correct? Good.
Yeah.
And they have 2 kids. And I love to see your videos that you, and that was really interesting. And since the pandemic came along, that afforded you 9, 10, 12, however many months, a year and a half to have another kid. So that was great.
Yeah.
Good planning.
Well,
I love
that
it.
Is really efficiency. I tell you, I love people that are efficient.
Now, I have 2 other plugs to give in, because Adam Danhauser, that graduated in 1988, so he would be the decade between these 2 guys. Adam was in a very successful production of Beetlejuice on Broadway. And Barb and I saw him both on Broadway and also at the National Theater when they were doing our pre-Broadway run. So I asked him, I said, well, during a pandemic, what's happening with you? He said, nothing. I'm auditioning and there's nothing going on up here in New York. Broadway shut down. Well, then it started to open up and Barb and I hit it correctly because we went up for a week in the first week of November and everything was feeling great. We had dinner with Rick, saw a couple of shows, and it was just such a good feeling. And then this Omicron comes along and we're in it again. But Adam told me just early this morning that Beetlejuice is coming back. They start rehearsals. They had officially closed the show right when they announced that Broadway was going dark. It's coming back. Their production starts in early April, and they start rehearsals in mid-February. So Adam will be back on Broadway doing that. And one more kid that graduated in 1993 by the name of Janine Bartel, she has been doing a lot of print work. She has been in Chicago PD, Law and Order, Law and Order SVU. She's been doing a lot of television. And this coming Friday night, I don't know when this will air, but this coming Friday night, at least for the five of you, she will be in Blue Bloods that airs this coming Friday. And when we visited her, she was filming that and she squeezed in an hour and a half for us in Bryant Park during the first weekend of the Christmas bazaar that they have there to visit with her. And who knows what the others are. I don't know what Megan's doing. She's sometimes a little tough to get to, but her husband, Kevin Kern, is still doing stuff up there too. So that's the centennial thing. And I'm very, very proud of these two and all the others. And things pop up every now and again that I had no idea that some of these kids were going into theater or majoring in theater in college. So it's a fun endeavor. And I'm just so happy to see these two successful. And Rick, I knew from ages ago, would be a tremendous teacher and coach. And I'm glad to see that he is doing that now, too. So that's just wonderful. One more story about Janine Bartel in Blue Bloods. Barb and I went to New York City to see her in Hamlet. Didn't know what it wasn't at the Roundhouse. It wasn't at the Schubert Theater. It was on 9th Avenue. Above a strip bar.
Okay.
Hamlet was ill that night. So Janine took over the part of Hamlet with book in hand. And every now and then we'd hear from downstairs, woo-hoo, all the screaming and hollering, I guess, as the girls did their thing. And she was so embarrassed to see us there. But I told her I'd come up to New York and see you sometime. And she gave me the address and we were there. So that's how she got her start doing Hamlet above a strip bar.
That's a good one for sure. So Ashley, what is the, since you are in New York, and I appreciate, of course, that you're in Florida doing your thing, Rick, but so what is the scoop as far as how New York's operating right now? So, I mean, everybody was all excited, like we all know. And then the first call that I got is a friend of mine had tickets for the Rockettes. And it was like, it's down. It's not happening. So what's it like right now? Try to give us the visual.
Well, everyone's sort of scrambling and trying to figure out best how to create a safe environment for not only the theater goers, but also, you know, the performers. How do we best keep everyone healthy? I think that they are trying to create bigger casts, more coverage. Okay. There was a big article in the New York Times about the saviors of the show, the swings and the understudies, and just sort of showing that in a nice light and that it's a good thing for us to have that and that it's a good thing for us to have more of that. So the producers are, you know, really calling people that if it was a long running show like Wicked or The Lion King, you know, somebody that might have done it like 7 years ago. Are you available? We have costumes for you somewhere in some warehouse. Let's get it in here. So that's happening. And then there is, you know, unfortunately, some shows are closing. It's just sort of the way that it was, is. And then some shows are choosing to go dark for the notoriously dry months. On the theater, January and February are notorious for being very slow. It's not news to us on Broadway, but with Omicron, it's definitely a little worse. And so now I know Mrs. Doubtfire closed down for just a little while so that they would be able to come back in the spring and hopefully have a nice long run after that. And then I think they're just trying to figure out, like, how do we test? What's the testing protocol? And, you know, every day it's different. So that's really, I mean, that's as much as I have.
Yep.
Ashley, what shows are open up there now? I mean, I know some have closed, but there are some still going on, correct?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to go to. You know, you've got your tried and trues, Wicked, Hamilton, The Lion King, Aladdin. Then there's Hadestown. I just went to see Michael Jackson last night. So good. Those are the ones that are off the top of my head, but there are so many more. And yeah, I can't think of anything off the top. I would need a list to look at, but those are the ones that I can think of. And, you know, everyone's just like really trying to keep it going and keep it up and running.
Yeah, it's really pretty awesome. Like right before Christmas, I got Omicron. And so, you know, it's everything, you know, just kind of like, all my Christmas plans changed. Anyway, I was supposed to go to Florida a lot earlier, and right before I came here and I was over Omicron, and one of my students is in Chicago, which is also open on Broadway.
Yeah.
And her name is Christine Cornish Smith, she professionally, and she covers Roxy and
Velma. Yeah.
Thank you. Just I had enough coffee. And so she was going on for Velma and I went to see it. And it's, you know, it was like really, I've seen like, I don't know, like four or five shows prior to that, you know, after things started opening and before Omicron. And it was really a moving experience to get to the theater and see that people showed up and, you know, everybody's masked. And this was right after Christmas. I mean, Omicron was just like, it was still like a mystery that was just like kind of like on fire. And the house was nearly full. And the stage was filled with something that Ashley was saying. The stage was filled with understudies. Because, you know, if Christine's going to go on for Velma, then someone's going to go on for her and someone's going to go on for whoever went on for her. Anyway, so, you know, it's this chain event. And, you know, the program was stuffed with, you know, understudy, you know, slips. And it was just, you know, it was awesome. It was really an awesome, moving experience. And so,
well, Rick, to dovetail on what you were saying, I think it was on Broadway.com that there was a clip of Hugh Jackman in Music Man that at the end of the show, he took center stage and thanked the people for being there. And then he made special effort to bring to the front line all of the understudies and all of the people that were filling in. And I think there were something like, I don't know what the cast is, but I would think 25 or 30 probably, which is very large for Broadway. They had 15 people that were filling in and he gave them pats on the back and everything and just basically eulogized them. And it was so good to see. But he's a class act anyhow, but he made special effort to do that.
Yeah.
Local folks are going to be able to see Ashley perform when the canceled or postponed ballet benefit for the Bald Ballerina takes place. Ashley, you are coming back for that, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be rescheduled for June.
Okay.
So that is what she told us. The date is not exact, so look out for that. But yeah, Maggie Kuderka and her benefit concert, she holds every year. Last year and the year before, she wasn't able to hold it. So, and we're hopeful that we can all get together in June when we are beyond Omicron and whatever other variants come up from that. And we can all be there together and support Maggie. And yeah, I'll be performing in it as well as like so many other superstars from Howard County and close by.
Right.
So, yeah,
we're looking forward to it.
Ashley, just as a point of information for the people out there, I know the answer to this question, but could you give us the names of the people in Howard County that you studied dance with that got you started and probably when you were very young age?
Yeah. Well, Mo Dutter, of course. and then I studied at a school called the Ballet Real Academy that was run by Donna Pidell. And I worked very closely with her as well as a woman named Shannon McHale, who has a studio now in Baltimore called the Mid-Atlantic Performing Arts Center. And then I also worked with Kevin Malone. And for people that don't know about that specific studio, it's had a lot of really good talent come out of it. One being Alicia Graff, who is now running the dance department for Juilliard.
Another Centennial student.
Another Centennial student. Yep. A girl named Katie Williams, who's with American Ballet Theater. And there's more. Obviously, Maggie Kudurka went there as well. And she went on to another studio too. And then I've always like stayed connected to people. I did study with Rick at one time too, who like helped me out with so many auditions and booked a lot of work for me. Thank you, Rick. And yeah, I think that's about it. I was pretty loyal to the one studio that I went to. I didn't hop around too much.
So we can look forward to hopefully seeing you, Ashley, in June. Cross fingers. I was real sad about the, you know, postponement, of course. And when can we see you again, Rick? When are you going to travel through to our homelands here? Anytime soon?
Carolyn, when are you going to, what am I doing?
Yeah, we'll do another Dancing for Divas benefit, age benefit. Yeah.
Carolyn.
All right. That's how we get people back.
Yeah. Carolyn keeps me busy in Howard County.
That's good. That's wonderful. Well, just a couple quick announcements of what's happening right here. So, you know, Toby's is going on. Rocky will be coming up in March. So you got to get there to see it. Silhouette Stages, Moe's old group is carrying on with Calendar Girls, Cinderella, and they even have a film on March 12th called I Am Shakespeare. So we're still trying to keep up and to keep getting out there. So please, please support any theater that you can. And Rick, let me say that you got to the strings of my heart when you said that. The first live theater I got to come out to see, I really wept. I mean, that word is the word that came to me because it was from deep inside that we're here. And it was just so connective. And so it's wonderful to hear people like Hugh Jackman, you know, giving credit to everybody that makes it happen. So until next time, you have anything you want to tell us for the new year, Carolyn, before we go?
Happy Valentine's Day. I love you all.
Cole, what about you, Mo? Any other messages you want to send forth?
It was just good seeing all y'all.
You know where he is, and it isn't New York. Okay, thank you so much, Rick Ryder, Ashley Fitzgerald, homegrown here. We adore and love you. And so until next time, it's Razzle Dazzle Radio.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.